This is Eric from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast, first line edition, playing shorthanded but yet more powerful. Adam Minnick, Richard Cote here with you, missing the slug, and Lonnie Goldsmith. He slows us down. I mean, he's not the speed. He's the grit.
I think he's more of the goon. You know, he's going to go rough somebody up, but he's not going to be scoring us any goals, and he's not going to be flying down the ice. Okay. It's too much. Too much. I feel bad. He's not here to defend himself, but you know,
I was just going light. So you're back on the mainland, Richard.
Back on the mainland after a little bit of travel trouble, but here.
Oh, could we go second line style? I need the story.
Okay, I'll give travel you the story trouble. Here. Little travel trouble. So on Monday, we were flying back to the mainland from Honolulu. We get to the airport. There is a giant line for the Southwest check-in. Like, we had to check our bags, but there was like a line going the length of the airport just for Southwest. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning, or our flight was at 8 o'clock in the morning. We got there about 6 o'clock in the morning and we're like, we don't know if we're going to get to the counter before 7 o'clock. It was quite the wait to get there. We did get our bags checked and we got to the security line about 7:30. So as our plane is boarding, we make it through security pretty quick, but we're running to our gates. We finally get there and we're like the last people to board. Like, we barely made it onto the plane. But little did we know they were still going to hold the plane for everybody else. They didn't mention that, but they did. There were a few people behind us. So we get on our plane, we fly out of Honolulu, we get to San Jose, which is our stop before we hit to Denver. We had like a 3-hour layover. Our plane was delayed yet another hour to get back to Denver. And I'm thinking in my head, I have to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning. We're going to land at about midnight. So I'm just going to plan on sleeping the entire way to Denver and just, I'll be fine. We take off. It is turbulent the entire way. So I'm not getting any sleep. We land in Denver at about midnight. We get to baggage claim. Takes another hour just to get our bags. So 1 o'clock, we get our bags. Takes another hour for us to get to our car. I don't get home until 2:30 in the morning. I have to be up in half an hour to go to work. And there was our travel issue to get back.
Well, you also forgot when you land at DIA and you get to your car, it takes another hour just to get to I-25 down Pena Boulevard there.
Good thing we don't take 25 because in Southeast Aurora. It's 15 minutes for us.
That is by far the farthest airport to interstate access in the free. like Stapleton, terrible airport, great location.
Oh, yeah.
DIA, great airport, terrible location.
You're basically in Kansas at that point.
I feel very like I'm waiting for the welcome to Nebraska signs.
We always make fun of it. Every time we drive out that way, when we exit I-70, there's like another 10 miles to get to. Yep. Yeah.
And Pena Boulevard. It's the longest boulevard in the middle of nowhere you've ever seen. It shouldn't be a boulevard. I'm sorry. They need to rename that.
They really do.
It's not boulevardy. It's just not.
No, it's just not.
And then that one gas station that can charge you an arm and a leg there, you know, the one lone gas station. Yeah. No, been there. So a couple lessons for you. Actually, a couple shocked that the wife and kid didn't go along and make you wait in the line so they could get the flight and leave you behind.
That's been
a family thing before.
Okay.
Just saying that happens.
Hey, I'm not going to say I didn't have to gate check the stroller he was in and they ran ahead to go get on the airplane. But I was lucky enough to make it there.
And then at TSA pre-check, it's a thing.
We don't believe in paying for that. So we're good.
You got to find one of the credit cards that gets you the free pre-check.
We're good.
Then you avoid the security lines.
But to be fair, out of Honolulu, there were three people in front of us in the security line.
Gotcha. So DIA though, makes
DIA,
a huge difference.
Major difference.
Huge difference.
Yes. Major difference.
I can't live without the pre-check and the global entry. It's a thing. It's worth the $85. Let me tell you.
Okay. I'll make a note of that.
Okay. If you want to save money, the Chicago Bulls merchandise store, PHN15 is the code. Great stuff that they've got there as they wind down the season. Specials going in the store, ChicagoWolvesStore.com, code PHN15 for your discount. Man, we've got a lot of stuff going on here in the stretch of the season. A lot of injuries, Richard. People are getting hurt and people are coming back. We're recording this on Thursday, the last day of March. We'll start with the ups, with the good news. Nathan McKinnon, I believe you know who he is. I think you've heard of him before.
I've heard of that name. It's familiar.
He's coming back tonight, supposedly.
Yeah, after punching the ice. Is that how he hurt his hand?
Punching the ice. Wow, that's a harsh fan there. Man, you're harsh.
No. We're glad to be having him come back. That's definitely a major piece that our offense really can't run without. It can, at best maintain, but not be better. So that's what we're going to need for the playoffs. So glad to see him coming back.
You guys have been terrible, only playing at a 600 clip instead of like a 750 clip with him out.
Yeah, I mean, we have high expectations up here in the Mile High.
there's that. What's amazing is a team that should be hot on your heels when you win seven in a row is not hot on your heels. You still have a 14-point lead over Minnesota. Like, Minnesota has to win another seven-game winning streak. They got to go to 14 in a row, and then you lose all seven to be tied.
Yep.
You have a cushion.
Just a little bit. And I think that just goes to tell you how well Colorado has done just all season long.
Yes.
They've just maintained that, 600, 650 winning average. And, the rest of the division's been, kind of mediocre from what I expect out of the Central. Like, the Blues haven't been playing outstanding. Minnesota is, now finally starting to pick it up after they pick up Flurry.
It's like goaltending helps or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Colorado didn't go out and get any goaltending at the trade deadline. And now I'm worried about the playoffs with that.
Well, but you've complained about their goaltending, but like in the conference, they still have given up the second least amount of goals in the West. So is goaltending their problem?
I don't think it's the problem in the regular season. I think once you hit the postseason and you're seeing the elite goaltending on the other side where your offense isn't going to be as potent and you're going to rely a lot on your defense. But I think that's where we're going to see the issue.
Yeah. But besides Fleury, proven playoff goaltender who was out there?
There really wasn't much.
You're asking a lot for the missing piece of a proven playoff goaltender.
And I don't know if it needed to be like a proven playoff. I think we just needed one more piece because I don't know if I believe in the Kemper and why am I blanking on his name? Our backup, Francouz. I don't believe in that 1-2 punch. And I think that's what you need to go deep in the playoffs. You need a good starter and a good backup. I don't know how that's going to fare come playoff season when you're seeing, the best of the best of hockey.
Fair. I don't think Darcy Kemper's the answer, but there wasn't much
out there. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Talked about Fleury, 3 goals in his 2 games, both wins with them and a .948 save percentage. So he's off to a rip roaring start up in the Wild where he agreed to go to. So that's the good news. The bad news, the team matters, but it was an ugly injury. Clayton Keller last night went feet first, full speed into the boards. Spirits are good, are the reports today. Fractured leg surgery was successful. He gone for the season. One of those make you cringe videos when you see it.
Oh yeah. I've seen a few of those in sports, mostly in American football, but oh man, leg injuries are no joke to watch. And especially when he's going feet first into the boards, you're like this, that's just not going to end well. It's just, oh yeah.
Another injury. The Leafs look like they're about to flip their goalie injury issues, and they've had them all year. Mrazek out for at least 6 weeks. Some would argue they're not going to miss anything with the way he's been playing recently. But Jack Campbell about to come back, who was their starting goalie, was having a pretty solid year before his injury. He is imminent, I believe, is what they're saying. So they're not giving a timeline, but I believe he's skating again. They expect him to play. The thing is, without Campbell and Mrazek, they give up 3,300 of minutes this year, and they're down to Eric Kellgren at 318 minutes and Michael Hutchinson, who's played 79 minutes this season. You know, total of 8 appearances between the two. They need Campbell back quick to continue what has been, you know, a march up the standings recently. They're out of that wild card spot in the crazy Atlantic, which Florida just continues to play well. And really they've kind of taken a little bit of control there. Tampa, they still haven't put their foot on the gas pedal. They've won 3 in a row after losing 4 out of 6. Toronto up to 3rd place, but you know, goaltending for them, I think, is the key, because they have, I mean, Peter Mrazek has been terrible since Campbell's injury.
Oh yeah. And I mean, when they picked him up, I don't think anybody was expecting him to be stellar, but I think they were expecting him to be better than he's played. I think he's still at above a 3 goals per game.
334 and yep. 888.
And an 888. It went down since the last time I checked in on him. He was at an 890 save percentage a couple weeks ago. I think he's a piece that they expected a whole lot more from, and just has not produced. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what the future holds for him in Toronto. Campbell, definitely a piece that they are really hurting for, pardon the injury pun there, to get back and, get competitive in this Atlantic division, because you have Boston hot on your heels with, you know, 2 points back, could easily catch Toronto, and then Toronto having to face a Tampa Bay or a Florida in the first round. That's not the matchup you want coming into the playoffs, especially for a team that's notorious for exiting first round.
You're going to get one of those two. I'm pretty much guessing there. I don't see Boston getting to one. They're 9 points back, but I mean, is being 4th in the Atlantic so bad? And I mean, not taking anything away from Florida's season, but do you want to play the team that's just rolled through the playoffs the last 2 years in the first round? I kind of don't want to play Tampa if I'm anybody.
No, I don't. And I mean, if you're a wild card, I mean, there's a possibility you could face Carolina if you're one of those 2 wild cards. So if they do drop, they could face a Metropolitan team, but I think you want to stay in that 3rd spot just to,
to play Tampa.
That's true. Oh man. Yeah. And
I think I'd rather play Florida. I mean, I just don't want to play the Stanley Cup champs twice.
Back to back. Yeah.
They kind of know things.
It seems like they know how to do things in the playoffs. I mean, regular season be damned. Yeah, they're going to, they're going to turn it on in the playoffs. You know that, but I think, getting that 3rd spot also, guarantees that you're not going to be playing a Carolina, who is a team you know can steamroll you as well. They are one of the hottest teams in hockey right now.
Yeah. Well, Rangers are hot too right now. We'll talk about them in a second, because they got some franchise history that was knocked down last night. So stock up for Campbell, down from Mrazek. Speaking of the jerks, Jesperi Kotkaniemi is out at least 2 weeks with a lower body injury. Groin looks to be the issue there. Not the injury. Not the injury you'd think, Carol. I mean, they don't want any injury. You know, they're 3 points clear of the Rangers with a game in hand. But the Rangers, like I said, they've won 8 out of their last 10, 4 in a row, had another good game last night on the ice. And losing just, you know, a key piece that's, you know, 37 points on the back end there. And so, you know, that's, sorry, 23 points on the back end. Not a guy you want to lose. Who's basically appeared in almost every game this season. I mean, there's a guy that's, you know, 11 goals is nothing to sneeze about when you're talking, you know, your midline center.
And, you know, not to say that any time is a good time to, you know, take a hit like that. I mean, this was like less than 2 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
Is when he goes down. The Hurricanes had a 6-1 lead over the Capitals. You could tell it was just frustration And I mean, this is kind of the time I feel that you need to be protecting your key players, maybe start cutting down on their ice time, especially in a blowout like that, you know, start shortening those shifts. But yeah, just kind of a bad timing on that. So maybe, I mean, maybe Carolina is a little bit more vulnerable than I just gave them credit for when we were talking about potential first round matchups.
I mean, the only positive maybe you can take from this, he's still only 21. This is his fourth full season in the league. First with Carolina. Rest him a little bit, you know, before this. I mean, he's played 63 games, which is more than he has played the last two seasons. He played 79 his rookie year. So, I mean, he has played a lot before, but you know, that's, you know, you're going through bodies. It's going to be, you know, another playoff run for him. So, you know, he's played 29 playoff games the last 2 years. So the only thing that worries me is the groin injuries are ones that nag. Even if he comes back, is it going to still nag? So that's, you know, that's a depth loss for Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, never a good time to take that penalty, take that, that injury. Yeah. But I mean, you know, playoffs are about a few weeks away. So yeah, rest him, see what happens. He is young, resilient, see how he bounces back, hoping that he does very well.
Yeah. Players like him, those depth guys, that's the difference in the playoffs more, exactly, more than the regular season. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, so it's kind of the ups and downs of the injury. When you look around once again in the standings, that we know it's the same story in the East. It's all seeding at this point. We know the eight teams, we know everybody who's going to be in the playoffs in the East. There's no drama between top eight and bottom eight. There's eight teams with a plus differential and there's eight teams with a minus differential. And guess what? There you go. But yeah, the jockeying for position is still jumbled. We're starting to see some separation. You know, Florida has pulled away a bit from Tampa. I mean, it's only 6 points, but you know, you're seeing it in the last 2 weeks, Tampa, Toronto, Boston, now all jumbled up. And then Washington has kind of fallen out from the top three teams in the Metro. Washington's starting to solidly look into that fourth spot in the Metro, where, you know, the Rangers have kind of jumped up, and now the Rangers are in the conversation when we thought it was the bunch of jerks that were going to run away with the division. So it's the bottom of the Atlantic and the top of the Metro, I think, that are the most intriguing right now.
Yeah. I am really intrigued to see how the Rangers are going to be doing. I kind of counted them out of the top three this season. At the beginning of the season, I counted them out of the playoffs completely. I didn't know that they were going to be, you know, as potent as they've turned out to be. Plus 33 goal differential. That's pretty darn good, especially with goaltending that nobody really knew coming into the season.
Well, I think that was the biggest thing. I mean, with King Henrik gone, you didn't know what these young goaltenders and Gregorov and Shesterkin were going to get you, but Shesterkin has been absolutely phenomenal this year. You know, I mean, Vezina type season, putting up, 32 wins, a 211 and a 936.
Right.
You know, pretty freaking good.
And you know, looking at their standings right now, like, I think they're one of the most dangerous playoff teams out there because their home and away records are very identical. So they can, you know, they could take it to you at your house or they could take it to you at their house. So that's one team that I am interested to see what happens once they get to the playoffs and how they're going to do, you know, hosting and being out on the road.
And they've got a very friendly April schedule, by the way. Very friendly.
Oh, is their April schedule?
Well, they start five of their first six games in April are at home versus Islanders, Philly, Pittsburgh, Ottawa, Carolina. The road game is in Jersey in between those, kind of in the middle of that run.
Wow.
I mean, so you're playing two playoff teams in Pittsburgh and Carolina, but both at home. You're the only road games they have that entire month. They're at Jersey, they're at Philly, they're on the island, and they're at Boston.
Yeah, that's I'll take that. You know, if I'm a Rangers fan, I'd take that to wrap up your season. That's nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a legitimate chance that they could very easily win that division with a very home heavy and non-playoff team for the most part schedule there in April. Whereas when you look at Carolina, I was looking at this earlier, they're almost split. So they've got a really weird thing, by the way, where they're on the road every Tuesday of the month and home every Thursday in the month of April. It's a really weird just thing I noticed. But, you know, they've got to play Minnesota. They've got to play the Rangers. They've got to play the Ducks. They've got to go to Colorado. You know, they've still got to play Winnipeg. So they've got some tough games in there. And they're playing basically every other day for the most part in the month of April. So schedule to me favors the Rangers to potentially, you know, make up that 3-point ground and win the division, bumping Carolina down to that 2 seed.
I mean, it's really going to come down to those two head to head games they have in the month of April. And yeah, we'll see how that pans out. Cause
in MSG. So yep. It's April 12th and April 26th. So it's going to be interesting there in the Atlantic and sorry, in the Metro, you know, in the West. Wow. What a difference like 2 to 3 weeks can make.
Right.
So Edmonton was left for dead. Now they're back in a Pacific spot. They're somewhat comfortably like that. Now they've built up a 4-point lead. The difference is Dallas has 3 games in hand on them, but they've got a 4 or 5-point leads, you know, from being out of the playoffs, that they've built up a 3-point lead with a game in hand on Vegas to avoid the wild card and avoid Calgary. Cause I think that's kind of what you want to do. But now LA is 6 points back, but they've played too many games. I mean, Calgary, I think the only thing that has changed, Calgary in the driver's seat, but mm-hmm. man, that LA Edmonton game, watched a bunch of that last night. All 3 games that they've played this year have been phenomenal. They've got one left. I'm ready for that first round series. Just give me LA right. Edmonton for 7.
Oh man, that's going to be good. I think Jacob was a little premature last season when he gave LA credit for making it into the postseason, being his surprise team. I don't know where it's come from them. Like,
I had them in the playoffs this year. I believe they're on my preseason predictions.
I don't think I had them on my preseason predictions. I thought I could write them off pretty safely. I thought not Winnipeg. I thought maybe Anaheim might do a little bit better. But yeah, it's shaken up quite a bit in the West. And let's go back to Vegas. Cause I remember there was a question, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago asking if Vegas needs to be worried and to be looking in their rearview mirror. I was like, nah, they'll be fine. They'll figure out a way to you know, string some wins together. I didn't have much faith in the rest of the Pacific Division. They are now only 1 point ahead of Dallas for that second wild card spot. So, I think panic button was hit and nobody heard it.
Vegas was, so between the 5 of us, there were only 2 teams that we picked come out of the West before the season. Mm-hmm. 2 of the guys picked Vegas. And 4 out of the 5 of us picked Vegas to win the division.
Yeah.
Nobody had Calgary. Nobody.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
I mean, I had Calgary missing the playoffs. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah. So there's that. Yeah. Our predictions are bad, by the way, this year.
Well, I don't know.
Really bad.
Let's see. Colorado's going to win the Central. I feel fairly safe about that. I have Carolina winning the Metro, which is questionable, but still possible. Yep. Boston's not going to win the Atlantic. Yep. I don't know how that didn't happen. Vegas. You're killing me, guys. You're killing me.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over 4 in mine.
Like your picks for last week?
No. I'm talking about each. We're not there yet. We're not at the Bet 99 part of the show. What are you doing?
Jumping ahead.
Yeah, Toronto, Islanders, Winnipeg, Vegas. I don't think those are going to cash in. It's a good thing I didn't parlay that. Because, let's see, Winnipeg may not make the playoffs. Vegas, we're still wondering. Islanders are not making the playoffs. Toronto, I've got one guaranteed playoff team. There's that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of misses. It's going to be a lot of misses when we do the little review show. But Yeah, I mean, the West is jockeying around. The Central, it's I mean, Minnesota, St. Louis, Nashville are all separated by 4 points now with varying games in hand. And that's while Minnesota jumped up. You know, they got points in 9 of their last 10. St. Louis is continuing to play 500 hockey. Nashville continuing to play 500 hockey while all this is going on.
And Dallas, too, the one who's, you know, chasing everybody to you know, try and be competitive. Don't count them out for getting one of the top three spots in the Central as well.
But Winnipeg's actually playing better than they are.
Yeah.
I mean, Winnipeg's actually shown some life recently.
I color me surprised on that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. But we've kept waiting for Dallas to hit their stride, but they've risen up because other teams have been less bad. It's not like they've gone on a crazy streak.
No, they haven't. And, you know, I've been waiting for Dallas to hit their stride for about 2.5 seasons now. I keep thinking they're better than they are. Yep. And that's what's been killing me in the picks and with our preseason predictions. I feel like they're a better team on paper and they just don't perform on the ice. So that, I think that's been my biggest hang up with them. I'm not going to be surprised if they make the playoffs, but I'm also not going to be surprised if they miss.
I think we're done with the goalie controversy in St. Louis. Ville Husso is kind of taking the reins, and you know, the multi-million-dollar Stanley Cup winning goaltender Binnington has kind of been relegated to backup role with his 500 record and over 3 goals against average. Husso has been phenomenal as of late, way better than Binnington.
What are his stats over the last couple of weeks?
Well, he's up to 18-6. And he's, you know, he's, and they were going every other for a bit. And then it was kind of like, if you win, you stay in type thing is what Berube did. But I mean, he's now up to 18-6, 240 and a 923.
That's, I'll take that.
Not bad for the young European goaltender. So that's, you know, goalie controversy here in my backyard kind of chilled down with him just taking the reins. You know, Talbot and Fleury kind of split in time since Fleury's got there. I think it's just a matter of time before Fleury supplants and becomes the guy. But I mean, the story in the West continues just to be, Colorado, I don't think is the story because everybody expected this. You know, they are the first to hit 100 points. So mm-hmm. they've reached that, but you know, Calgary just kind of continues to just play good hockey. To me, they continue to be a story of offense and defense. Their stats, their splits, everything is just solid with them right now.
And this is from a team, remember, last season they had a head coaching change. Yep. They had multiple staffing changes. They had a lot of players exit. It just really didn't seem like a good place for the club and for the players. It seemed like a giant mess. And then for them to be at the top of the Pacific right now, handily, and to be playing this level of hockey, I think has been just shocking.
Yeah. I mean, Goudreau was 60 assists on the year. He hit the 90 point mark last game. Matthew Tkachuk continues to just keep growing as a player. He's 80 plus points. The man Mangiapane slowed down a bit from when he started the year, but he's a 30 goal guy this year. You have 4 guys with 30 goals on that team.
Wow. That is incredible.
It's a big drop off. They're kind of Colorado-y. They've got 3 guys with 40 and then it drops down to 13 for the next guy, Blake Coleman, who's you know, your bottom 6 role player type. But with Goudreau, Tkachuk, Lindholm, and Mangiapane, all 30 plus, I mean, good gosh, they're just rolling, you know, with their top 2 lines. And you know, Markstrom has been playing good enough. He's good enough. I mean, it's weird. And I can't figure out if he's really a darn good goalie because 9 shutouts are nothing to sneeze at.
No,
but you got that 925 save percentage, which means he's had some clunkers in there, you know, with that save percentage coupled with 9, you'd expect a little higher save percentage with 9 shutouts.
Right. I mean, yeah. I think it's kind of the tale of the season for most goalies. You know, you have just some phenomenal games and then one or two, like 8-2, 8-3, and you're on the wrong end of those beatings, especially in the Pacific Division and playing against the Central Division when you have you know, so much, you know, star power and so much scoring power from those other teams that you're facing constantly, you're bound to see a few of those blowouts. But coming back with 9 shutouts on the season, that's incredible.
If you come, by the way, coming into the season, he's had 8 career shutouts.
He's more than doubled. Wow.
Yes. So 8 career, no, total his career.
Exactly. 8. So he's more than doubled his career.
Yeah. Doubled his career. And yeah. I mean, he's having a career year. It's his highest save percentage. It's his lowest goals against. It's he's third most minutes right now. He's about 500 minutes behind his highest. So he's, you know, 7 games away from that, which he probably will eclipse. I mean, the dude's having a career year. Once again, it gets down to, you know, is it the team in front of him? Because he was Vancouver for all those years. And you know, is Calgary just better in front of him? But the big thing is he's only been to the playoffs 1 year when they had their deep run, you know, their 14 game run in 1920, mm-hmm. where he played, he had, you know, a 285 and a 919. So decent numbers in the playoffs. But, you know, 1 playoff season of when going 8-6 is all he's had. So that's another guy, you know, you talk about the postseason with Colorado, both division leaders in the West, there's going to be a lot of playoff experience questions when it comes to the goaltender.
Yeah. I'm interested in how they're going to fare going into the playoffs. Cause what right now is, who would be their first round matchup? Would it be Nashville or would it be Vegas?
Vegas. Cause there's, yeah. Cause it goes, it's the, no, they'd have Nashville.
Yeah. Because Colorado would have Vegas.
Yep.
Yeah. It's, I'm interested to see how they will face, how he will do in a more, you know, pressured atmosphere come the playoffs, seeing as he's only had that 1 year of experience. Granted, it was fairly recent, only a couple of years ago. But you know, how this entire team is going to gel together in that as well. And if he's going to be getting the same support from his blue line as he's been getting pretty much all season long.
Yeah. And I mean, playing Nashville, that not terrible. I, you know, they are an offensively challenged team at times. So it's kind of a good way for Markstrom to get into the playoffs, where if they are fortunate enough to win, you know, Los Angeles, Edmonton, especially if Edmonton wins and you've got, you know, more minutes played and that Dreisaitl guy and that Connor McDavid guy get extra minutes and extra shifts. I mean, it's avoiding them in the first round's a good thing.
Yeah. No, that's definitely going to be a good thing. But I don't know. I feel like Nashville is one of those teams you can't sleep on. I mean, you can't really sleep on any of the playoff teams, but I don't know. For me, there's something about Nashville that's just, I'm not saying they're going to make it out of the first round, but I'm not going to, you know, wait for them to exit in like 5 or 6 games.
Yeah. I think the good news is I think all the playoff series are shaping up in the first round to be fun. We're in one of these years where there's no blowout on the horizon. Like there's no, I don't think there's going to be any sweep prediction.
Well,
coming up.
I hate to put this out in the universe just because of how it's shaped out in the last couple of years. A Colorado Vegas first round. Vegas has bounced Colorado the last 2 years in the second round. So, I mean, I know I don't want to say it, but I'm going to anyway. I mean, is history going to repeat itself?
But that's what I mean is that would be the biggest point difference in the entire playoffs if that was to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I don't think anybody would say it's going to be a sweep.
They're
not that. Speaking of Vegas, little irony happened last night. The expansion Krakenites of the Seattle City, they lost. They are officially eliminated from playoff contention. And like I said, ironically, Vegas.
For the first time in their history, the Seattle Kraken have missed the playoffs.
Yes, they have. They have. And the team that gave you a blueprint of how to be good out of the gate gave you the E. Next to your name. We knew it was coming, but I thought it was a blueprint.
I think
teams also got smarter in the expansion draft.
Exactly.
I mean, things changed, but I thought it was interesting that out of all the teams to give you your little E, the little lowercase E next to your name, it was the previous expansion team that is so good. right out of the gate. And now they have their issues, you know. But yeah, so we will not have there will not be pledges of climate in the postseason.
No,
I don't think that surprised anyone, considering the team, the offensively challenged team that they put on the ice.
You mean with their -60 goal differential? Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't find goaltending, and they just can't score. Once again, I remember early on, we talked about the expansion draft, and we talked about before the season, all of us were asking, well, where is Seattle going to get goals from? And the question remains, where is Seattle going to get goals from?
Right. You know, there were only four teams in the entire league that scored less goals than Seattle.
Let's see, Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
The worst jerseys in the league.
Montreal doesn't have that bad a jersey.
Montreal would be the other one, the fourth.
It might surprise you.
The Hawks have scored more. It's got to be East. It's got to be a bottom team in the East, huh?
It is.
Who's bottom of the East? Oh, Philly?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're a disaster this year.
They are, but I feel like they're still like sort of scoring goals. They're just not keeping as many out of the net.
They're a disaster.
Yeah.
There's a team that's going to have, we're jumping ahead to an off season. That's going to be an interesting off season, because I don't know what Philly's direction is. I mean, they're unloading because obviously, you know, the trade that we've seen, but I'm not sure we know what they're,
I don't think their front office knows their direction either. So, I think there's going to be a lot of moves in that front office come the offseason, but that's just my prediction.
By the way, speaking of Seattle, could you name their leading goal scorer? That's what I mean. Talk about a team without an identity.
No, I cannot. Who is their leading goal scorer?
I thought it was Yanni Gord. It's not. It's Jared McCann.
Yep, neither of those two were even on my list. So,
yeah. Wow. That does, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jared McCann having a career year once again. More goals, you know, career highs in goals and points and in there. The worst minus rating he's ever had. So, you know, there is that. But yeah, I had to look it up. I was like, oh, Yanni Gord's probably leading the team. That's kind of where I expected Yanni Gord to be. But no, he's second in the team in goals and, you know, 16, which is pretty good for him. Pretty good for him. It's more than he's had in Tampa the last couple seasons. So, off the NHL beat and over to the ladies side here for a second. When we talk teams, is we got an Isabel Cup winner.
Yes, we do.
I mean, like again, just, you know, Boston wins again. Yay. It's like a thing over there.
Wasn't it?
They won 3 out of the last 4 years.
Wait,
2 out of the last 3.
Did I misread? I could have.
No, Boston beat Connecticut. Richard, you're a resident.
I know.
Women's hockey expert.
Oh man, yeah, I blew that.
What? Boy, you know you. Yeah, yeah, you're not.
I saw
not able to edit that out.
No, I am not. I am not. Okay.
You are clearly trying to shave some wins away from Boston. And if you have some shaving things, you may want to check out Manscaped, by the way. A new friend of the pod here, Manscaped. If your nether regions need some help, these guys down there with their lawnmower, go check them out. Manscaped.com/prohockeynews gets you 20% off. Or if you just want to put in the code at checkout, a PHN20, they will help your nether regions. And you will feel as smooth as you want, where you want.
How uncomfortable was it reading that?
Not at all. Not at all. I can't wait for Lou to read his.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make him do that on the second line.
He's got the test product. I'm jealous. Lou got sent all the test product with the guys, and he's going to get to do the personal testimonial. I have wanted us to – I am so happy Manscaped is a partner of our pod. They've got some products. I wanted the test product, but Lou trumped me on that one. Yeah, Boston wins it again. They're back to back for Paul Mara and his team. They beat the Connecticut Whale. They've now won 3 out of the 7 awarded cups there. Dynastic. They're a dynasty right there.
They are. No, they have put together a fantastic franchise, and I enjoy, you know, watching them play whenever I get a chance. And last year when we sent our virtual fan to the Isabel Cup in Lake Placid, we got the entire 2021 Boston Pride to sign it. So
we did. That's
sitting here in the PHN office.
Yeah, and this was after losing. I mean, and they lost it in 17. I mean, they've been involved in 4 out of the 7 finals. I mean, this is the team that everybody has to beat there. And we'll see. I mean, with the PHF, they're going through some changes now with their management. There's talk with NHL, with the women's the Pro Hockey Women's Players Association, which is not part of the PHF, which did a rematch series of U.S. Canada following the Olympics. They're going to start to sort themselves out, because, you know, I watched that game. It was a fun game. I really enjoy women's hockey, but you can tell by the speed of the game, the top players in the world aren't there.
Yeah.
Versus absolutely. When you watch and I know U.S. Canada is a snapshot, because it's like 2 all-star teams, but you can tell that it's, you know, you're missing, you know, the top 20 to 25 players in the world in that league. And we got 6 teams. That's, you know, 2 to 5 players better on a team that they're missing. So hopefully all this can get merged back together and they can improve the women's game. Not taking anything from Boston, but definitely would love to see it.
It would make strides for the game of hockey to be able to merge all that together, because as you mentioned it, you know, watching U.S. Canada, again, those are the best women's players in the world. And you know, there are other national teams that are pretty darn good, but the best players in the world are playing for those 2 teams. Yep. And to have them split into any professional women's ranks would be just so much fun to watch.
Yeah, let's get that. Let's go numbersy now. Back in the NHL, we've covered kind of. I went teams in the first half. Now we're gonna go numbersy. McDavid scored his 100th point last night. It's the 5th time he's done that. The dude's not even 26 yet, Richard. Like, wow. He's on a list with some guy named Gretzky and some guy named Mario.
Super Mario.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah, that's. I mean, those are the type of lists that he's embarking on at 25 and change.
Yeah. I mean, that's good company to be on. Wow. But 100 points this season. And I think it was the most impressive last year when he broke that 100 point because of the shortened season. It was like 56 games.
Yeah.
Oof, man. The guy knows, you got to give him credit. He knows how to score, but he definitely knows how to help others score, which is what makes him so dangerous.
Yeah, he's not even close to leading his team in goals.
No, he's not.
He's second by a wide margin, because Dreisaitl's not going to, Dreisaitl's at 49. He's knocking on the door of 50. But, you know, 63 assists for McDavid to the likes of a Dreisaitl, a Zach Hyman, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Kaylor Yamamoto, Pajarvi. I mean, all guys that he's, you know, dished assists to this year. For a team that has pretty close to 0 goaltending, you need McDavid scoring 100. And by the way, Dreisaitl's at 97, so he'll be joining that soon.
One more game, he'll be there.
Yeah, I mean, just absolute freaking, I mean, Nintendo numbers there.
And I think it was interesting to watch, because, I mean, McDavid and Dreisaitl had a really hot start to the season.
Yep.
And then mid-season went radio silent, as did the rest of the Oilers offense. And to see that come back and have him still break that 100 point mark of the season, I mean, either he's doing it super under the radar, or he's just doing it in these giant spurts.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to win the goals thing, because we got a battle with Dreisaitl and Matthews of who's going to hit 50 first. They're both at 49. Kreider, talk about him in a second, he's at 46. But McDavid is not going to win the assists either, because it looks like Huberto's pulling away on that. But McDavid and Dreisaitl are battling for who's going to win points with 197 respectively.
Going back to our preseason predictions, looking at the Rocket Richard trophy, I believe everybody except for the resident Oilers fan picked McDavid to win the Rocket Richard Trophy, which he's not going to win.
No, but he picked Matthews. He may be the only one that's right.
Exactly.
Exactly. But let's see. Did they? He. But then Jacob did pick him for the heart. So he kind of, and then all of us picked Matthews for the heart, but not for the goals. So, you know, there's that. There is that out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look at what's going on, you know, with kind of dynastic number, Chris Kreider, as I got my brain there jumbled. Last night he scored a power play goal. 24th power play goal of the season, ties a franchise record. I shouldn't have put it on the rundown because you probably already saw who he tied.
Yeah. Is he still playing hockey?
Yeah, he's playing over in Europe. Yammer Yager.
Yeah, he is.
The most amazing thing to me of like in Rangers franchise history that Yammer Yager holds the record. Like it wasn't the first name I thought of who did he tie?
Right.
Oh, right. Yager, the Ranger, the mighty Ranger, Yammer
Yager. Career Ranger, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so he one more goal and he'll be forever in the franchise lore there in the venerable arena. You know, not bad company to be a part of there, but you know, 24 of his 46 goals on the power play, which makes you wonder what's he going to be like in the postseason, because you don't usually get as many playoff goals. And this is a guy that has never scored more than 5 playoff goals in a single playoff season.
I think it's, you know, that's got to be part of the game plan for whoever is going up against New York. You know, you got to keep those penalties in check, because they definitely have a guy on the roster who will make you pay.
Yeah. I mean, he's having a great, I mean, his shooting percentage this year is over 21%. But I give him credit. He's also winning more than half his draws. He's having a, you know, really solid year all over. So it's not just goals, but he's winning the draws, which is giving his team the ability to start in the offensive zone. And he is a playmaking center. I mean, his split is 46 and 19. He's not passing the puck. He's not playmaking. He is play finishing.
Yeah.
And 9 game winning goals, like I said, 24 on the power play, 24 power play goals, 30 power play points. Once again, not dishing. The dude's a shooter.
Oh yeah.
And he's shooting and scoring this year. He's already got more shots in his career or for this year than it's a career high in shots. But like I said, his shooting percentage of 21 is insane. Oof. Insane.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I had that just in my beer league. I'd take a 21 shot percentage.
Take a lot of shots?
No, actually, I don't.
So maybe you do have 21. I mean, 1 out of 5.
Maybe I do. I just need to start shooting more.
There you go. How many goals?
I'm embarrassed to say it, so I'm going to leave it out. It's
more than 0?
Actually, no, it's not.
It's You're a grinder.
Yeah, exactly. I'm out there grinding. Yeah, exactly.
First line here, but third line in your hearts.
Exactly.
Something like that. I'm not a scorer either. I had 4 goals this year, and half of them were in one game.
That's fantastic. That's 4 more than I have.
Got a GWG, baby.
Sweet. There you go.
Spring season starts this Sunday. Back on the ice this Sunday.
All right. We got playoffs tomorrow.
Like, oh yeah, we don't talk about the playoffs. So
playoffs.
And then one historical note, if you will, Jonathan Toews tonight in Florida, expected to play, which will be his 1,000th NHL game, which all happened to be with the Chicago Blackhawks. Question is, how many more than 1,000 will he play with them? Is he going to be part of the rebuild, or as he enters his final year of the contract? See a guy that's going to want to be moved on. He's had some real critical comments after the Hagel trade, especially that he claimed caught him a little bit by surprise. But I mean, it's just, you know, I always like seeing a guy hit 1,000 games for one franchise.
Yeah, that you don't see that often anymore.
I think it's pretty cool.
How many do you know how many others have hit 1,000 with
a single team?
With a single team.
I do not. And either does Philip. He said no too. He was, yeah, he was, no, he didn't know how to answer that either.
Come on, Steph.
I don't. What I do know for Taves is, you know, this is a guy that's, you know, Captain Sirius. He has played all his games there with them. He's top 10 in so many categories, you know, with the team. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. But, you know, like I said, thousands, that magical number, you know, with it. And he is going to be, for the franchise, he will now be the eighth person to play 1,000 games in the Blackhawks jersey.
Okay.
So Kane's ahead of him. Seabrook and Keith are ahead of him in this era. Stan Mikita holds the franchise record. You've also got Bobby Hall, Eric Nestoranko, and Bob Murray on that list, who have played 1,000 more games in the Blackhawks sweater. So, you know, the guy has been all world. He's 6th in goals for the franchise. He's 8th in assists for the franchise, 6th in points. You know, he's been a captain for, you know, almost his entire career there, 3 Stanley Cups. So definitely a historic night for him. I'm sure their next home game, they'll do a nice video tribute and he'll get a nice warm welcome and a framed jersey and all that stuff. I'm guessing, you know, we'll probably see 1,000 warm up, you know, the warm ups will probably have 1,000 on the back tonight with his name there in Florida. Maybe they'll wait for home actually for that. But, you know, great accomplishment for a captain that really, he's one of those type of guys. He's just played the game right.
Yeah.
You know, and even through all the stuff that this franchise has gone through, he's never been mixed up in any of the negative stuff. He's really been that stalwart of showing. So you like seeing guys like that hit the marks.
Absolutely. Congrats to him.
Bet99 is a good friend of ours.
Yes.
In Canada, especially in Canada. Our Canadian friends can take advantage of that link for some great betting promotions there on the site. I just want to say that when I missed the last episode, you guys were making fun of me, but I did get my picks in. And I got them in legit before. And
you did. And actually, if you go back and look at your picks from last week, you could have had, you could have gone 3-2. You went 2-3 because of a typo. You picked Washington instead of Nashville.
That counts as Nashville. That's an autocorrect. No, it does not. That's an autocorrect. I did it on my cell phone. I did it on my cell phone, which is not easy. The way you had this thing locked, and it was not easy. That counts. Come on. You know what I was picking.
I don't know. Sometimes you pick teams that aren't even on the slate. So
I pick games that aren't on the slate.
I know. You could have very well been picking that. All right. Oh, and he goes back and corrects it. He goes back and corrects it.
You're not going to do it.
Oh, I was just waiting for you to just make a mention of that. I thought you would look at it before.
I didn't even know. Nope. Didn't notice. But what I thought was interesting is we only picked 2 out of the 5. We all picked the same. We missed on that Vegas lot, LA.
Oh yeah, we were unanimous on that Vegas game.
Yeah, didn't go well for us. But we got the Calgary one.
We did, sure did. I mean, I don't think there was any question that they were going to lose to Vancouver. But all right,
nice of you to finally make up ground, though.
You know, too little, too late at this point. But all right, so as you may have heard last week in our Bet99 PHN picks of the week, Adam went 3-2, not shabby. Lonnie had a little bit of an off week at 1-4. So they kind of just flip-flopped weeks there. As you remember, the week before, Adam had his horrendous week at 1-4. I went 4-1. I was a little shocked at that. I was shocked at the Vegas game. As Adam just mentioned, I think that's one that we all kind of wish we had back. But you know what? Moving forward, I got 5 picks for us to go this week, and I'm sure Lonnie will chime in. Maybe he'll spell his correctly, so I don't have to. Wait,
you're not going to give like season records?
To be honest, I haven't calculated those in about 2 weeks. So
I'll
get those updated for us.
I will say you're very consistent of like 3 to 4 games below 500 in your double shifting duties. You've been very consistently below 500 this year. And, yes, and I believe you're the only one on staff of the five that can say that.
If anything, I am consistent.
Yes. Yes. And like I said, you're the only one below 500 on the staff. Like the other guy, the rest of us are experts. And you are just not.
I am the amateur on the staff. So, you know, God help me. All right. So I got five games for us to pick. Maybe I can get above 500 for the first time this season and Adam can stop dogging me. First game, Pittsburgh at Colorado. Adam, who you got?
Should be a fun game. Should be a lot of offense. Colorado, give the Tin Cup Arena the advantage there.
Yep. I'm going Colorado as well, as a shock to nobody on this podcast. Game number two, the LA Kings at the Winnipeg Jets. I think this one's actually going to be sneakily a good game.
I think it's going to be a really good game. But by the way, we should note that Pittsburgh, Colorado is the Saturday afternoon game. ABC is doing a lot of Saturday afternoon games the rest of the season. So if you want to watch that on the old free TV, that is the marquee game of the day here, is that Colorado Pittsburgh. But yeah, Los Angeles, Winnipeg, I think is going to be good. I actually have that. To me, I think that's the best game of the day. There's so many playoff implications on that one. I think Winnipeg gets this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Kings. Kings are playing really well as of late. Winnipeg's not doing too shabby either, but I think the Kings have the edge in this game. Going to game number three. And as you may note, I have all three. If Lonnie was here, I'd had all three of our representative cities in the picks this week. Minnesota at Carolina. Adam, you going against the bunch of jerks?
You know, Minnesota's been so hot recently. You know, they've got that win streak. The question is, does it continue? And I'm going to say, yeah, I think they're going to stay hot.
You're going to stay. All right. You're going Minnesota. Yep. I'm going with the jerks. I think all good streaks need to come to an end. And I think it ends with a quality team like Carolina. Game number four not in your backyard.
Yeah. Closer to Jacob's backyard. Way closer to his backyard.
St. Louis at Calgary. Adam.
Calgary. I think they're going to throttle him. St. Louis is struggling, man. They're just not playing consistent hockey. And Calgary's, they're just rolling. They continue to roll.
I'm torn on this because I feel like this is a time of year when Calgary may be stepping off the throttle a bit, just to kind of conserve themselves and get ready for a deep playoff push. And I think St. Louis is in a desperate situation where they need to keep pushing as hard as they can. I don't know how far that goes, but either way, I'm still going with Calgary. They're winning. All right, last game. Dallas at San Jose. To be honest, this the other four were the best games of the week, and then we had this one.
Yeah. Well, you're picking from a lot of poop for the other games that are on Saturday night.
Right.
San Jose, because they're home. And I don't know. Dallas is sneaking back into a playoff hunt, but they're just not good enough.
Yeah, they're iffy, but you know what? I'm taking iffy over San Jose. I'll go Dallas. So there are Bet 99 PHN picks of the week. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at PHN Podcast, and you can use the hashtag PHN Picks to submit yours and see how well you stack against Adam.
What's interesting to me, this tells you the Canadian market of how strong Montreal is, that Montreal-Tampa is the main Hockey Night in Canada game in the early slot, because that's what we're getting on the NHL network here in the U.S. over Los Angeles, Winnipeg. And it just tells you that the power of Montreal in general, and then the power of the Stanley Cup, the two-time Stanley Cup champs over Los Angeles, Winnipeg, which is a bigger game for both those teams in terms of where we're at in the season for playoff.
And it's going to be, you know, a better game to watch if you're just a pure hockey fan.
Saturday's slate is not, it's not strong, man. I was looking at the Sunday slate too. The whole slate this weekend, we're not there yet. There's a lot of just clunker of the games unfortunately, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday doesn't have an intriguing, you know, that St. Louis Edmonton game, you know, St. Louis at the beginning of the Alberta back-to-back, I think with fresh legs, I'm real interested to see that St. Louis Edmonton game. I think it's going to tell us a lot where both teams are coming down the stretch here.
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting.
There we go. That's our Bet 99 picks. Canadian fans, check on the link that we've got there. It is time for closing thoughts. We heard a travel story at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
How are we closing our thought here at the end, Richard Cote?
Well, closing thought, this one just sprung into my head. I'm not going to count it. I know we've split a lot between closing thought, parting shot. It hasn't been consistent on the podcast, but you know, Whatever it is, this is what I'm going to leave you with. It's good to be back on the mainland. It was a fun trip. I got to try surfing for the very first time. Got up on the board a few times. We were at Waikiki Beach. And if anybody is familiar with that, it is a very shallow beach, pretty much as far out as you can go, with some very sharp rocks at the bottom. And my back has the scars to prove that from when I had to bail a couple of times. But needless to say, it was still a blast, but it is good to be back home and back on the podcast.
I've got to say, off air, we were talking and I'm questioning what you were ingesting and imbibing there. You know, my closing thought is based on your closing thought. I'm going to expose you because you decided to solve all the hockey world's problems. You should move the Toronto Maple Leafs to El Paso, Texas.
That is correct. That was a joint effort between Scott Kelly, fan of the podcast, Emily, my wife, and myself, Alex Medford, another fan of the podcast. We were all just, you know, trying to figure out how do we solve all the world's problems? And it just came up to, we need to move Toronto. And, you know, what better place to move them than scenic El Paso, Texas? By the way, we were ingesting, you know, beer and other alcoholic beverages at the time, but it seems like a good idea. And I will stand by that.
But you want to call them the El Paso Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep, change nothing. Keep the jersey. Everything stays the same. They're the El Paso Toronto Maple Leafs. I'll run that by Jacob, see if he's on board.
Gary Bettman stands by Phoenix, and Richard Cote stands by El Paso in the NHL lore.
And hey, you know, this is going to be one that is going to be torn. This is going to tear Gary Bettman in half because he's going to want to keep the original six team in its city, but he wants to expand to non-traditional hockey markets. Which Gary Bettman will we get? That's the question I have.
I don't think this is going to be a long conversation. You know, you should write an email to Gary Bebb. And please don't use your PHN email when you're doing that. Once again, the opinions of Richard Cote are solely his own and are not representative of prohockeynews.com.
I'll get the response and I'll read it on air.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck with that. We want to thank our friends at LDE Affinity Jewelry, Bet99, ESPN, Chicago Bulls merchandise store, and of course, our newest friend, Manscaped, manscaped.com/prohockeynews to mow your lawn. For Richard Cote, did we miss Lonnie? Did we miss him?
Oh, he forgot his shift. He didn't get over the boards in time.
Yeah. I guess we missed him. I'm Adam X. I'm so long. Check us out at prohockeynews.com for all your up-to-date hockey information. This has been another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.